Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Quite a few. I mean, in my independent venue love series, as I've been calling it, the one on Thursday is going to be number 10. But I've done a fair few others as well here and there. I did one for my touring crew. I did one for my record label. I've done one for my a friend of mine's running a fundraiser thing for the NHS. So many is the short answer to the question. More than I was imagining at the start.
And was it easy to set up the technical kit? Are you sort of a technically minded kind of person? Because presumably, other than maybe a bit of a video chat, there wouldn't have been too much help available.
No, I mean, at the beginning, it was really easy, but definitely, I'm not savvy enough to know the details of this, but something at my end of the internet has changed since lockdown started, because the first one I just did with my laptop, and it was absolutely fine. The sound quality and the picture quality was great, and using the exact same setup, about 3 weeks later, it just completely collapsed quality-wise. And since then, I've been fighting an annoying battle against trying to get it back up to where it was, but I think we're there now, so Thursday should be good.
I guess for someone who's used to playing some pretty big venues, to do it from your house and not to be able to see the audience, although presumably you're seeing some of the social media reaction. How difficult is that?
It's very different. I mean, at the beginning it was really strange, and I learned a couple of things quite quickly, mainly about how much my usual performance relies on a give and take of energy with the crowd, which is a thing that I'd always sort of ideologically subscribe to. But it was interesting to discover that it was true, because I'd be playing a song and I'd pause for the sing-along or the cheer or whatever it might be, and nothing happens, you know, and at the end of songs. Also, my cat has discovered what it is I do for a living and is not impressed with the volume of my singing and guitar playing in the front room. But I mean, obviously, over time, I've got used to it, but both as a performer and as an audience member, I think one of the things that's been interesting about lockdown is it's very precisely isolated and highlighted what it is that's great about gigs, you know, because the thing that is missing is that interaction, is that energy, is that sense of gathering and community, and all of that is absent. And, you know, doing live stream shows, given the current strictures, is not a terrible stopgap, and there is a bit of a sense of community on the comment section and people gathering every week, but it's really, for me and I think for the audience, really, really kind of putting a finger on exactly what it is that is good about shows and what we're missing.
Now, this is interesting. So there are fans, presumably, who have watched one, two, three, maybe the full set of these gigs, as if they're following you around behind the tour bus on a national or European or even world tour.
Yeah, well, that's been one of the things that's interesting as well, is that, like, in a funny way, the internet, through its universality, is actually kind of restricting. When you're on a normal tour, your audience every evening is geographically dictated. You play to the people of Cambridge or Norwich or Peterborough or wherever it might be. Because you're broadcasting through your channels on the internet in your little corner of the internet, that is the same week on week. And that's kind of... It's weirdly restraining, as I say. What I've been doing is playing through my recorded back catalogue in chronological order. So the show for on Thursday for the Portland is going to be my most recent album, No Man's Land, in full. And it's been fun for me as a songwriter to work through my catalogue in that way. But it does also necessarily dictate a logical endpoint for these shows, because there's only so many songs that I know how to play.
You've played the Portland, of course, for real. What do you find it like as a venue?
In fact, my wife asked me the other day, because she's not been to the Portland, what the Portland was like. And what I said was that it was effectively the Joiner's Arms of Cambridge. The Joiner's Arms is a venue in Southampton, which is where I went to my first gig and where my old band played their last gig and where I've played 100,000 shows over the years. That might be an exaggeration. But, you know, again, it serves the same function locally. It's the perfect size and perfect atmosphere and perfect approach for a certain type of culture, underground music culture. And one of the things about independent venues that I talk about a lot of people talk about them as training grounds, audition grounds, you know, for the bands that go on to bigger things, whether that's me or Adele or Ed Sheeran or Muse or Radiohead or Biffy Clyro or whoever. And that's fine, that's true. But there are also many different types of music and great bands and singers and DJs and acts who only exist in venues of this size. And that's equally as culturally valid and important, in my opinion.
And that, I guess, is something that we could lose, at least in part, once this lockdown business is all over. There's not necessarily a guarantee that all of the venues are going to be able to open back up again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that at the beginning, I think like a lot of people, I imagined that the end of lockdown would be a sort of ringing of the bells and everybody running into the street to joyously hug and return to normal life. And I think we all know that's not going to be the case. And live music, particularly the archetypal sweaty punk gig that the Portland is very good at providing a platform for, that's going to take a long time to come back again. And so, you know, protecting these venues during this period of time, which, as I say, I think will be longer than the most extreme part of lockdown, is vital. It's vital because these places are important. It's also important to note that setting up a venue from scratch is extremely difficult and extremely expensive. And some people have reacted by saying, well, if they go under for a while, that's okay, because they'll just come back. I don't think it's that simple. I think that if a venue like the Portland goes, trying to replace that with a different place further down the line is going to be much more difficult. And that's even putting aside the fact that you lose all of the accumulated history that a room like that holds.
It's interesting. There's a venue in Cambridge, you might have heard of it, called the Boat Race. And I think it's been closed, I think, the best part of 10 years. Possibly, actually, it might even be 15, maybe even a few years longer than that. It's still talked about. But we just don't want to have a collection of these places which are still talked about.
Well, exactly. You know, it's not worth much to a current and new and budding music scene to have a relic like that. I was actually thrown out of the Boat Race when I was about 14 years old.
Oh, excellent. What did you do?
I was crowd surfing, which I was not supposed to be doing. Well, I went to see a band called Symposium at the Boat Race sometime in the late 90s. There's no point in just having a long list of museum pieces. The last decade or so has seen a really interesting time. The Music Venue Trust, who I work with a lot, have done a lot of work, because there was definitely a moment of real crisis for venues. And until March this year and the pandemic, we definitely turned the corner, right? We turned the tide. Things are moving towards protecting these venues and understanding that, and both in the broader culture and the music scene, but also at a governmental level. Obviously, this is a new challenge that needs to be focused on, and people are working as hard as they can to do that. But, all the same messages apply. If we lose these places, they will be gone and our culture will suffer.
So if someone wants to view the gig tonight, what do they have to do to find it?
It should be very easy. It's on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Frank Turner. I will also, on all of my social media channels, post the exact link for where it is. So on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and that kind of thing. The YouTube's kind of universally accessible. It's important to say as well that there is no paid entry to the show. You just click on the link and you can watch it, because I understand that some people are not in a financial place to make donations right now.
But if you can make a donation, presumably there's a virtual hat which is going to be passed around.
There will be a fundraiser for the Portland, which is advertised both in the description for the video and on, this is my bit of arts and crafts for lockdown. I've got a little sign that I make each week that hangs next to me with the fundraiser website address on it. And the thing I always say during the fundraisers is, if this is a show that you would have paid a tenner to go and see, then put a tenner in the pot. And if you're drinking a can of beer from your fridge that costs you £1 in the supermarket that would have cost £4 at the bar, then put £3 into the pot. There's no amount of money that's too small to make a difference.
It's a very good way of thinking about it, though. And you have a new album, I think, as well, which, goodness me, promoting that's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I put out a live album, which seemed like the thing to do at a moment in time when none of us can go to gigs. I'm very glad we were planning on releasing at some point. We moved it forward a bit. It's called Live in Newcastle. It's from my tour at the end of last year. Mixing it and indeed releasing it has been slightly bittersweet, I have to say, because on the one hand, I'm very proud of the show and it's a great document of a great show. But in listening to it, you kind of go, oh, I remember gigs and audiences and interaction and all that kind of thing. So, that is out there now.
Okay, that's great. Well, look forward to listening to that. And I look forward in particular to listening to the gig this evening. Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you for your time.